You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to Atlanta Baseball Talk, show number 331. Today is Sunday, May 1st, and my name is Steve. I am joined by both Hamilton and Curtis, and guys, let's get to it. In tonight's show, we'll discuss roster construction, Freddie's place in the batting order, and Julio's last two starts. But first, guys, some surprising moves in the minors were announced Saturday morning as Dansby Swanson was promoted from Single-A to Double-A Mississippi and Ozzie Albies from Double-A to Triple-A Gwinnett. So, guys, as recently as like a week ago, the front office had announced that they wouldn't rush the prospects up to the big club just to salvage the season. But this move, much earlier than any of us anticipated, would seem to indicate that they are coming to the big club this season. So, Ham, how do you feel about the potential of 19-year-old Albies and 22-year-old Swanson possibly anchoring the infield on the big club soon?
I feel great about it. I mean, I think it accelerates this notion that we actually could be surprisingly competitive in 2017 with Swanson and Albies and Malik Smith and all our young pitchers. It's exciting. I mean, you got to start, right? There's that adjustment period of young people coming to the majors, so let's get that behind them so we're competitive sooner than later. I don't think this is an attempt to salvage this season. I hope it's not. I mean, what is there to salvage, right? I don't think it's, I think
wild
it's just,
card, baby.
No way.
Sorry, just kidding.
Come on, Homer fanboy. So, I think this move is about two things. These guys are ready to move up. And there's nobody blocking them at the next level. And certainly they are part of the vision for that 2017 team. And if they can be here in 2016, all the better. But I don't think it's a corollary to that we're bad this year. And if we don't do something drastic to save this team, then that's a bad thing. I think they're ready.
Well, so there's no doubt that these two guys were ready to move up a level. They were killing their respective leagues, right? I mean, they had started walking Dansby in Single-A because they were scared of him, and Albies was hitting almost 400.
Right.
I mean, it was crazy, right? But they've got to be ready. I mean, that to me is the one concern. Like you talked about, this is great. Bring them up. Get them. But it's only if they're ready.
Well, yeah.
They were ready to move, right? It's only if they're ready. Like
only
the front office
ready to move.
Cannot panic.
No, but I don't think this is a panic move. Only if they're ready to move, only if they're going to be playing every day, and only if they're not in over their head where they lose confidence in themselves at this point, right? But if they're competing and not getting fooled and playing every day, keep promoting them. Bring them here now.
Kurt, do you think there's anything in here that is fan appeasement? Here's a big piece of news. Stop looking toward Turner Field right now. Look at the exciting prospects moving up and getting one step closer.
Yeah, I mean, I think that certainly they probably pushed this news out a good bit just for the reasons that you said.
I mean, it was still April when these guys came up. Like, no one thought that was going to happen.
Now, granted, their numbers, as you guys mentioned, do sort of demand that perhaps they would get moved up. But I guess my issue with them coming up to the Braves is it seems like once they get here, these are the type of guys that don't go back. So it's really imperative that once they do get here, that they're really ready to go. Malik Smith has sort of come out a little slow.
Yeah, but had a hell of a weekend.
Sure, absolutely. Obviously has to catch up himself to the higher level of competition. But we talked about this. I'm of the feeling that we just pace ourselves. We don't rush anything. And this, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that this is anything more than maybe that these guys were so good in the levels they were in that they just demanded that they be pushed up. But I don't want us to get so far that we are.
Yeah. But hopefully the management is not trying to do anything other than what's exactly right for these two guys, right? Not to make the fans happy or try to win some games this year or push them for any other reason than they're ready and they're ready to start contributing. Because I'm with you, Curtis, because they won't go back. And if they struggle up here and they're not ready, they won't get sent back and they may not be able to figure things out for a while.
Yeah, the common refrain, the quotes from the front office has been, these guys will tell us when they're ready, and they told us they were ready, and that's why they moved them up. And it could absolutely just be that, and this has nothing to do with the dreadful start and the calls for Freddie's firing and just the dumpster fire that is the 25-man roster right now. Hopefully it really is just for all the right reasons. But, that will get proven out as the months roll by and we see if they move Dansby up to AAA before it really seems like he's ready, or if Albies or Dansby come to the big club before it seems like it's ready. I mean, they need to be pushing hard to move up another level before we see him in the big club. That's all I want out of this.
And also, you're going to have to deal at some point, if Swanson moves up to AAA, somebody's got to move to second base,
exactly.
Right? So, yeah.
Well, that decision's coming.
Sure, of course, but
they need time.
They need time to get acclimated to second, since they're both.
You don't want Albies or Swanson coming up to the majors and playing second for the first time.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, beyond a little bit in spring, neither of them have played a ton at second base. All right, so guys, speaking of the 25-man roster and Freddie, let's take a look at how much blame should go around to Freddie and maybe elsewhere. But first, a quick break. So guys, the team continues to lose at an alarming rate, and the inevitability of Freddie getting fired seems to grow more and more every day. But Curtis, do you think it's fair? I mean, where should the blame really be? How much heat should Coppy be getting for constructing this 25-man roster, along with how Freddie is deploying the pieces? Where do you think the blame should go?
Well, there was a couple articles that were kicking around this week from national media about Freddie and the Braves. And one basically said, firing Freddie is such a waste of time because the Braves were going to be bad. They're tanking this season. So to get rid of him, you're not going to be able to get another manager of any ilk because nobody's going to want to take this on and potentially even dealing with another sort of rebuilding, not great team next year. So you might as well keep him around. The other thought, of course, was that he should be fired immediately. Mark Bradley, of course, of the AJC, who wants everyone fired, was on top and said that he wanted that. We've kind of reached the point where there is no return with Freddie, which I sort of agree with. But I have to say part of me agrees with the other aspect, too, that firing Freddie, all you're going to do is promote Terry Pendleton or Eddie Perez or somebody like that. It's really not going to change. You've got to figure those guys are going to parrot a lot of what they've heard from Freddie. So it's not like it's going to be a new voice. And I do worry that you would not be able to get a high quality manager to come in and take this over. So letting Freddie eat it the rest of this season, I don't have a problem with. How much of this is his responsibility? Well, you see moves that are questionable that are made pretty much every single game.
But Freddie's been doing that forever.
Sure, absolutely. and he should have been fired like three seasons ago. But the issue with Coppola and all those guys coming and saying that this team was going to be 20 games better, it really starts to kind of question what it is that they thought they were going to have. And clearly they didn't think that Ibar was going to be terrible or that Inciarte was going to be hurt or that Oliveira was going to beat up his girlfriend. I mean, they obviously had no idea that any of those things were coming, but did.
But Kurt, let me stop you there for a second, because I have no interest in defending Coppy, but that's like a third of your lineup, right?
Sure.
I mean, they legitimately thought, and I think it was a legitimate thought, that Oliveira, especially after his spring, was going to be good. Enciarte is a real major league leadoff guy, and Ibar's a career 270 hitter. That they all disappeared for their various reasons. I mean, it's a huge hit to everything they pictured.
Of course. But there are pieces that, you know, I mean, I don't know if Matt Latos is somebody that would have ever come to the Braves, but somebody tweeted about the fact that you played, or maybe you did, that you're paying Bud Norris more to be awful than Matt Latos is paying to be brilliant for the White Sox this year.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Is there something about his ability to evaluate even free agents and people like that are coming in here? I mean, Ham and I talked about it. There is a healthy dose of people that are on this team this year that would not be playing for anyone else. And so when Coppy went out gotten offered them, it wasn't like they were having to make a really long decision about, let me see, let me mull my offers. Is it go play golf for the rest of my life, work for ESPN, or go play a couple more years for the Braves and cash in $2 or $3 million?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, the Drew Stubbs decision was terrible, right? The Bud Norris decision was terrible. I assume that Coppy's hands were very tied in terms of how much money he could spend. Don't you figure? I mean, the whole, like, really, when you get rid of the dead money for Swish and Bourne, the fact that this is like a $50 million payroll, I mean, don't you think that Coppy wanted to spend more and was not allowed to? Or was Coppy like, nope, this is it. This is all we need. I'm being a good corporate citizen. I mean, there's no way to really know it.
I bet it's more of the former, though. You know, I bet his hands were very much tied.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that they had any intention of spending a lot of money this year. But I don't know. I mean, again, Matt Latos is getting paid less than Bud Norris is, and he's, what, 4-0, 5-0 now?
Yeah. No, there's no doubt this is barely a major league roster. Like, despite the injuries and despite those things, this team was so thin, even when Oliveira and, Oliveira, Inciarte, and Ibar were there and ready to go, the team was so thin.
There's nothing else.
That there's nothing else.
Yeah.
I mean, a ton of the blame has to be on Coppy, despite how much his hands were tied. And to me, to fire Freddie, which, I mean, I don't think it's a terrible idea, only because, right, I mean, Freddie should have been fired years ago, but it would only be an action for the sake of an action. It would truly be fan appeasement in my mind. Because why else? I mean, it's not like, is Bud Black going to come in here and all of a sudden turn this into a 500 team? See, barely a major league roster, you know?
Well, and see what he did with the San Diego Padres.
Well, I'm just saying, you
who's
know.
Who's out there? Yeah.
Who's out there? You know, a big name.
Sure. Well, I guess the other thing that I have, and Sam, I'll let you go after this, but the one thing about Freddie that I think that needs to be done is he does not get to be part of when this crop comes up and does, in fact, make up the bulk of the major league roster. I don't want him around at that time. So, yeah. So if it means cutting him loose now so he doesn't have – I mean, he basically came out the other day and said, oh, you know, well, Terry Collins, he got to survive through all the rebuild, and he took him to the World Series, so I should get to – basically do the same thing. I mean, he was basically begging to keep his job. And I don't want him to be the, I mean, we've seen what he can do. And it's lots of late year collapses. It's lots of poor decisions with the bullpen and the
bad in-game decisions.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and not helping the clubhouse, not thinking it's his job. We've right. seen that on many occasions. Ham, what do you got on this?
I mean, I don't know if blame feels like it's too strong, because wasn't this the plan all along? You know, I do think that they way oversold this 25-man roster is better than last year's, as you alluded to. They just oversold it. I mean, either they're stupid or, you know, they're just feeding us a load of poop because they don't want us to lose hope long-term when there's just garbage on the field in the short term, right?
And well, there's been a miscalculation, Hammy, right? I mean, this team really could lose 100 games, and they certainly didn't think that would happen.
Yeah, but
right?
But bad is bad, right? I mean, what's the yeah. difference? I mean, if you're bought into – maybe I'm just speaking from myself. I'm actually to the point where I want them to be bad. I think the only thing that will be interesting about this year at the major league level is how bad they can be. I mean, why, you know, I mean, be historic. If you're going to be horrible, be historic. I mean, but this was the plan. This was the plan all along. We gave away most of our MLB-ready talent or MLB-caliber talent to build up our farm system. We shed a lot of money. We knew we were going to be bad. So to say blame Coppy and say, Coppy, this team is so bad, it feels a little reactionary.
I guess it's much easier to lay the blame on Coppy, given the line, Kurt, of this 25-man roster is going to be better than last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? And,
we were sold a bill of goods.
Right. And to go what Ham was saying, it's either an incredibly ignorant statement or it's a total lie.
Yeah.
Which neither one of them leave you with a really good taste in your mouth about the guy that's running your franchise.
Yeah. But and to be fair, I wouldn't be mad to see Freddie go, and maybe it would be cool if TP took the reins. Why not? You know, I mean, maybe he could build some momentum and start to shift the mindset as these new guys come on. So maybe when Dansby and Albies come up and others, as they start to come on, I mean, maybe you get Freddie out now and bring TP up. You know, who knows?
Well, it would be cool. I mean, I think that those guys might respond better to famous Braves from the 90s. Yeah. Versus Freddie. Right?
You mean our bench?
All right, guys, let's move on to fair or foul, where I throw something out there and we agree with it fair or disagree with it foul. So first, big news to start the week that just ended was that Freddie Freeman was moved to the sixth spot for the first time since 2012. He was there for one whole game and has been batting cleanup or back into his typical third spot in the lineup since. So, Ham, fair or foul, Freddie Gonzalez handled that situation well.
Fire him.
Well, Freddie was really struggling all season. And, I think that there was a need to maybe mix things up for him somehow just to see if he could get out of the funk. At the same time, I think it goes without saying that we are not in sync offensively. And we don't have a lot of prototypical fours or sixes or anythings in our lineup. And so why not? Why not put him first? Who cares? That's where I am with this season. And I mean, especially if he needs a new perspective to just shake things up. That one game in the six, just, you know, you think differently. You see more pitches, whatever. Maybe that reset him. And he had a good week. I mean, it worked.
He had a great week.
And so it's by far the best week. So I think we would have lampooned Freddie Gonzalez if the outcomes had been bad and said, how dare you do this, you idiot. But since they weren't, I think we have to give him a little bit of credit that maybe this was something that energized Freeman.
All right, Curtis, what do you think?
Sure, I'll jump on that. I'll go fair. I don't really have much more to add than Ham did. Whatever it takes to motivate and to shake people up, especially when they're in a funk, if it works, then they should get credit for it. So brilliant.
Yeah, so to me, I mean, again, you can't argue with the results. He was 10 for 24 this week with two home runs. But I'm really of the mindset that you don't move your best player and your best hitter, particularly in the midst of all of the new guys and just these placeholder veterans, and like keep some stability in the lineup. But to give Freddie Gonzalez the benefit of the doubt, if he really had his pulse on Freeman's psyche and knew that this is what he needed to do to relieve the pressure or whatever, then only one game doesn't make sense either, right? I know that in that game, I think he had two hits or he had a walk. But like, if it was really a good idea, then only one day doesn't make sense. And if it wasn't a good idea, then don't do it to begin with. To me, foul, foul, foul. All right, Curtis.
Freddie hater.
Julio, yeah. Julio was brilliant last Monday night against the Red Sox. And again today. Sunday, going 7 innings, 2 hits, no runs, 9 strikeouts versus the Cubs, who are, you know, quite a juggernaut offensively. So fair or foul, you ready to have confidence again in Julio?
I don't see why we shouldn't. They put up a stat today that I guess after this game now, the run differential that the Cubs have put up this year is plus 78. The Braves have scored 79 runs this year. So that's quite an offense, and he shut them down and did really the same to the Red Sox. Gave up one run on a homer. I mean, this is the guy that Julio does tend to be up and down. So we might see a couple of games where he's really amazing, and then he'll tail off a little. So let's hope that he can be more consistent and continue this string. But yeah, I've certainly developed confidence in him, at least going out until the next start. Fair.
Hammy, how about you?
Yeah. And man, he looked so great today. And
he did.
Early. I mean, just so inspiring. I don't know if he has the mental makeup to be a staff leader, to lead other young pitchers, which is maybe another question. But just in terms of the stuff that he had, he shows that he can be an ace. And especially when he's confident in himself. I mean, that's the bigger thing, is he has confidence in himself. He just dominated. And so obviously, you know, it will be great to see him carry this through for a couple games to really show that he's back. And it would be even better if he was able to actually maintain this into next season when he has the offensive assets around him to actually win a game. So I, you know, I'm fair. I'm ready to have confidence in Julio. I guess the question is, you know, do you guys think Julio, fair or foul, are we confident in Julio's ability to lead the other young pitchers and get them acclimated and be that sort of alpha dog here? Because I haven't heard a lot about him as a clubhouse leader or how he interacts. But we're going to need someone. I mean, if he's the vet, he needs to be a good vet, right?
Yeah. Well, I think he may be one of these guys that leads by example on the field.
Yeah.
You know, because you're right. I haven't heard much about him in the clubhouse either.
Yeah.
But, guys, so, I mean, only one home run these last two starts. Great sign. The fastball velocity was up. Great sign. You know, he was making people miss. I mean, a bunch of strikeouts over these last two starts. But after last season and a pretty unimpressive start to this season, I'm not ready to feel automatic about him. I'm going to go foul. But it is great, great signs. There's no doubt about it. All right, so guys, time for Farm Watch and focus on some of the prospects in the system. So, guys, we'll focus on a few guys this week. So, starting with Folty, right, with the cancellation on Saturday against the Cubs and due to off days in the schedule, the Braves realized that they didn't have to go with Folty to replace Norris because they could go without a fifth starter for a couple of weeks. But the team announced this afternoon that Folty will get the start on Monday, game one against the Mets in Queens. So, Folty hasn't started this week. So his numbers remain as they were when we discussed him on the show last week. In Gwinnett, he's got a 2.05 ERA, a 1.18 whip, no homers, 14 walks over four starts. So, Kurt, do you like the idea of him getting in the rotation now? Or should he, you know, should the Braves have taken the opportunity to give him a few more starts in AAA before we really needed a fifth starter?
No, I think that it's time. You know, he's been up here, so it's not like when we were talking about Swanson and Albies earlier, a guy that's never actually graced the major league level. And, you know, I mean, he had starts last year and he had a couple of starts where he looked amazing. So I think that with him, he seems like he's a guy that really builds off confidence. And so it seems like he's probably got to have a lot of confidence. I wish he was get those walks down. I know that that's going to be just a lingering issue with him. But no, I mean, and Bud Norris has really been bad. So sure, bring him up and let's get him going and see if he's ready to take on the role that we hope he can take on as part of this starting rotation going forward.
You know, Kurt, it's funny that you mentioned confidence because that was really my angle on this as well, that last year, some of his issues seemed to be related to confidence and poise, you know, and this would send him such a strong signal of we have faith in you and are confident in you. We're going to bring you up even before we really need you. So I agree with you, man. I think let's do it. Let's restart the Folty era tomorrow. Yeah. Hammy, what do you think?
No, and Stevie, that last point you made, I totally agree with. I like that it was a positive thing. Like, no, we're ready for you. I think that, and I'm ready for him. I'm excited to see him. You know, he struggled a lot, and I think he became sort of our punching bag a little bit sometimes last season for the struggling young pitchers. But he looks great this year in Gwinnett, and so let's get him up here and let's see what he can do, and let's get this thing started. I'm excited.
So, Ham, if the Albies and Swanson moves indicate an acceleration of moves to the big leagues, then mm-hmm. the three most likely other candidates we might see in Atlanta this year are Rio Ruiz, third baseman, and then the starting pitchers Tyrell Jenkins and Lucas Sims. So here are the stats for these guys, and tell me who you think the most likely are or who you want to see next. So Ruiz in AAA, he's batting .310 heading into today. His slash line's .310, .389, .452. He went 3-for-3 today with a double and a triple. Tyrell Jenkins, heading into today, a 1.71 ERA, 1.48 whip. He pitched today. He went 6 innings, 1 earned, 3 walks. And Lucas Sims, no slouch himself, is at a 2.25 ERA, 1.17 whip. So, Ham, what do you think? Who's next? Who do you want to see next?
Oh, I want to see them all. I'm very, very, very excited. I think I'm ready to see Ruiz. You know, we just have our offense is so abysmal. Obviously, Adonis is a good hitter, and we need him, but he's not our long term solution at third base. And I would, you know, if Ruiz is ready. And it goes back to what I said earlier, that as long as he's playing every day and he's not overmatched and at the risk of losing confidence and sort of hurting his psyche, I want to see him up here and let's get him getting his lumps, getting adjusted and getting ready for contributing quickly at the major league
level. You know, if you got Ruiz up here along with Albies and Swanson, you've got 22 years old at third. Let's say Albies is at short, you know, 19 at short and then 22 years old at second base in Swanson. That is a lot of youth making up 75% of the infield.
Yeah.
Man, and it would be exciting, and but center. It's a little scary.
And your center fielder is 22. Yeah.
Yeah.
But if Oliveira comes back, he'll be 46. He'll balance everybody out.
Curtis, how about you?
Yes, we do have I think I saw that we have like the sixth oldest team in Major League Baseball right now, even with Malik coming up. Yeah, I guess the only thing about Ruiz is he's a lefty. He bats lefty. So we saw the other day that we really could have used another right-handed bat when the choice was between Jace Peterson and Kelly Johnson. And we, you know, could have put some runs on the board. We had the bases loaded, nobody out, and got nothing out of that inning. You know, Lucas Sims has been really amazing. And I would not be opposed either really he or Jenkins coming up, but I guess I just don't know where they would fit right now.
Well, it's interesting, Kurt. Yeah. Because I was thinking the same thing, right? If Blair and Folty do what we hope they'll do.
And God, then Blair, it's amazing. Sorry to cut you off. We didn't put one word about in this show about Aaron Blair, and he's been tremendous. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. No, it's true. I mean, against that same Cubs offense, I mean, he had a no-hitter going into the fifth or something. I mean, really, really an impressive second start for him. But right, so basically, if you maybe you decide to trade Chacin at the deadline, and then that opens a spot for Jenkins and Sims. And I would vote for Jenkins. I just think he's more ready. But, man, so Tehran, Whistler, Blair, Folty, Jenkins. Boy, it is a young.
And then Ruiz, I mean, Swanson, but they're the future. Albies,
yeah, Smith. I know. Everyone's 22 years old.
Well, maybe that's the September Braves, you know?
The baby Braves, too.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, guys, next up is Shot in the Dark, our crazy prediction for the coming week. But first, a quick break. All right, guys, let's check in on how we did last week, starting with our listener, Nate Roque, who submitted his pick for the week, and he predicted that the Braves would hit more home runs than they gave up this week. And not as far off as I thought it would be when we picked that one. The Braves gave up four, one in each of the first three Red Sox games and then one in the Cubs series, and Freddie hit two home runs this week, so not so far off. So last week, guys, I predicted that the Braves would sweep the Red Sox. I was pretty close.
You were so close, except for those first three games.
Yeah, but other than that, I mean, like, I was so dead on in that last one.
I went Thursday night, and it was so cold. It was 40 degrees. It was brutally bad watching that game.
To see a nice game, man.
I did.
Yep.
Sorry.
So, Kurt, you said the Braves would score no more than three runs in any of the seven games this week. And not so fast, Kurt. They scored four twice.
Ooh. I know. I, like, kick-started the offense just by saying something.
Yes, you did. And, Ham, you had Kimbrel blowing one of two save opportunities this week. Did not happen.
No.
So we'll give it to Kurt.
Yes.
So, Kirk, congratulations. You won the first month of the season. On to May.
The first Shot in the Dark of the year.
Yeah, because no one – that's right. We've been so far off.
Yes.
All right. So, Curtis, what do you got for this coming week?
Talk about jumping full feet in. Is that a
– no.
Did I just make that
no,
up?
No, that's not a thing.
Don't go full-footed.
I like that. I'm going to go with that. I'm saying that the Braves are going to just explode – this week and hit five whole home runs.
Ooh. That's madness, but okay.
It is. It's crazy.
And what, do they have six now? Right? There were two And then the Drew Stubbs one. And then someone hit another. Yeah, I mean, it's, they're at 5 or 6 for the season. So, yeah, that'd be cool. God, I just despise Drew Stubbs so much. I really do. I just hate him. I mean, it's like this irrational hatred I have for him.
Do you know that he has struck out 50% of the times he's been at bat?
Well, that is part of why I despise
him. It feels like 100.
God, I just hate him. All right, Hammy, what do you got for this week?
I'm going full feed in, too.
Why not?
Sure.
Do it.
This is a multi-layered one. I think that Freddie hits 2 more homers this week against the Mets, but against the Diamondbacks, he has to leave one of the games early. One of the games early.
Okay, Ham, you're sort of giving with one hand and taking with another there.
That's how I roll.
All right, I'm going Vizcaino has 3 saves this week.
Wow.
Which, yes, I realize means that the Braves would win 3 games.
You're showing your hand for the next section.
All right, folks, so please don't forget to send in your shot-in-the-dark prediction before first pitch on Monday, and we will pick one and discuss it on next week's show. So, guys, let's talk about the week ahead and our predictions for the week, but let's look back on last week and how we did there. So on this 2-4 week, which of course should have been a 7-gamer, but we had a postponement. Ham, you were closest with your 2-5 prediction. Kurt had the team at 1-6, and I foolishly had them going 4-3. So Ham, you get the closest there.
With the sweep of the Red Sox,
of course.
Exactly. All right, so guys, let's look at the upcoming week and the pitching matchup. 6 games this week. It's also pretty brutal. So 3 in New York against the Mets, 3 back home with the Diamondbacks. And here are those pitching matchups. So Folty versus Bartolo Colon and his 3.42 ERA.
Braves killer.
Yeah, no kidding. Next up is
Sandwich
Whistler.
Eater.
Next up is Whistler versus Matt Harvey, who's still not figured it out a ton, although he's only given up 2 runs his past 2 starts. He's at a 4.62 ERA. And then Chacin versus Steven Matz, who held the Braves to 2 earned runs when he faced us in April. Back home for the Diamondbacks, and at least it's rough on paper, Blair faces Greinke, although Greinke has a 5.5 ERA. He has still not figured it out. Next up is Teheran versus Shelby Miller.
Ooh.
I like the, you know, the present versus the past there. Shelby continues to just have a nightmare season. He's at a 7.83 ERA. He pitched today and only went 3 2/3, gave up 3. How much hair has the Diamondbacks front office pulled out on this at the start of this season? Yeah. I mean, Greinke's struggling, Shelby beyond struggling. It's just crazy. All right. And then
he should have been my shot in the dark.
What, Shelby? That he'll pitch 7 shutout innings?
Yes.
And then we've closed the week, which I assume will be Folty versus Patrick Corbin and his 4.88 ERA. So, guys, your predictions for the week. Ham, what do you got this coming week?
1-5, 0-3, 1-2.
All right, Curtis?
I am going, again, both feet in, 2-4. 1-2, 1-2.
All right, I'm falling in with all 4 limbs. I'm going 3-3. So 1-2 against the Mets, 2-1 against the Diamondbacks. Come on, it's not so outlandish. The Diamondbacks, you know,
they're
not very good so far. All right, guys, that is the show. Everyone, please remember that we are at our new home of Blog Talk Radio, as well as you can always find us on iTunes and Stitcher. And as always, you can find us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com to access all of our shows, to check out our blogs, and to post in our comment section. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, everyone, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com.